I won't spend the whole day or most of our time dealing with the APP. And if we can go up to half past one, and then from here to lunch, and then go to the National Assembly, to the chamber, so that we are done with the APP. But in welcoming you members and ministers and in the department, we just need to check with Parliament if we cannot have another meeting during this week. So that we can deal with issues that I'm going to raise now. That are not in the agenda, in today's agenda. Because it will be very difficult, members, to keep quiet when media is making noise about a number of things affecting this portfolio committee. I know, Minister, you definitely cannot be ready to deal with these issues, but I think I must raise them so that we submit an application for us to meet as soon as possible to deal with issues of I think in the main is the what is in newspapers is the outcome of the AGM in relation to I may be wrong, but because I was not in the AGM, the pending retrenchment of about 800 workers in SABC. So we cannot not reflect on those issues pretty soon. We don't know where they come from. But I think those are the issues, members, that are related to the what Minister has been dealing with, the guarantee from government, particularly Treasury, in relation to finance problems in SABC. The guarantee that we have been talking about all the time. But I think the turnaround strategy is much more important. Even if I was in the Treasury, I will have to look at what was the turnaround strategy before I can offer that guarantee. You see, these issues are interlinked. The turnaround strategy, the guarantee, depending if it's true, depending retrenchment of workers in SABC. And all these matters talk to the SABC and therefore the issue of meeting the board of SABC pretty soon so that we are clarified on these matters led by you, Minister. The last thing that I thought it will be necessary for the portfolio committee to reflect on is the Broadcasting Amendment Bill that this committee never finalized. Yes, there were views about what was in the Broadcasting Amendment Bill as it was brought to the committee by the minister then, Minister Mtambi. And surely the view at that time and even after was the taking away of powers of Parliament to do a number of things in relation to the Broadcasting Amendment Act. A number of things. Those things need to be finalized so that as we conclude this week the colloquium that is organized by the department, we know where this bill is. Because it's very clear that as it was not accepted then, it therefore means it will have to go back to where it came from. And where it came from, unfortunately, Minister, now it goes back to you. So that because it came from the ministry, from the minister then it must go back to the minister currently, and I know there is work. I know there is work towards that from Minister Mukonya. So, members, I wanted to raise those issues so that we reflect on not necessarily debating or discussing the issues, but the process. And from the onset, I was saying we need to have a day without delay so that we can look at these issues. I'm not sure how far the turnaround strategy is, but I think if possible, and if there is some work done in relation to that, it will be better dealt with before the end of this week, because the program is so tight going forward. I thought, members, I must raise those issues because they are in the public domain already. And I was contacted by media. We never discussed this in the committee now, the issue of retrenchment and all of those things. We don't know about it. We'll then have to be briefed properly. Welcome, members, and happy that the president is here, president of the PEC is here. We know that you have been busy. We did, when you were not here, talk about the departure of Mama Sobukwe. And I know you were engaged in past weeks preparing for her send-off. Welcome, Honorable Mbinda. I'm told Kaba is on his way because we'll reflect in terms of the process on what I was saying when I'm dealt with the apologies. Kaba is on his way. I'm sure he's already in Cape Town now. Matisha has other engagements. Who is this? The Deputy Minister is in the First State. Some artwork, Mr. Tsedi has political engagements in Gauteng. not in Limpopo, in Gauteng. Those are the apologies, members. Can we accept or not accept the apologies first? Accepted. Do you want to reflect on the process on what I was talking about, member? Can I start with you and then Fandam after Kalako and then Bongo?
Thank you, Chair. On the three issues you have raised, on the two, that is the pending retrenchments and the guarantees, which are related, I will agree with you that we should find time so that we deal with this thoroughly with the minister and the department. As you have said, I don't think we can expect the minister to reflect. She's here for another thing on the agenda. So I will agree with that. But on the bill, I will propose that we send it back to the minister and give the minister the chance. Maybe the minister might want also to see what was in there since she was not there. We take it back to the office or to the minister, and then we engage from there. If there is a need, so I will propose those two things. Chair, thanks.
Thanks, Chair. I also fully back sending the bill back to the minister. And for her to have a look at it and make whatever amendments that are necessary. Can I request that if we have another meeting, it unfortunately cannot be this week because some of us have other engagements already in our diaries, but if we can do it for next week, we'd be more than willing to make time on a Monday or Wednesday or whatever day, but this week is already full with other engagements. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think I agree with the other colleagues about the bill having to go back. It will also allow some of us to interact with it. But on the other two issues around the retrenchments and guarantees, whether we meet this week or next week, but what I would just request is that at least to get the minister to start dealing with a lot of work towards that, and a briefing as to how far are we in terms of, and what is it that we can do as a portfolio committee to frustrate this process, because this process is at the center of our people. Our people are worried. I did watch TV yesterday. I think it's not a matter that we can just take very light. I think we must prioritize it. We must work on it thoroughly. But what I'm not sure, Chair, is that the last meeting was postponed, that there will be a turnaround strategy. I think there is a link between the turnaround strategy, the work that they are going to do today, the APP itself, plus the issue that relates to guarantees. Because I'm listening very carefully to your comments that if you're a treasurer, you were to give those guarantees on the basis of a proper turnaround strategy. But from where I'm sitting in the report I got last time, it's like treasurer must move with the speed of a mirage in terms of giving these guarantees. Because they have a lot to do about the staff morale, they have a lot to do about all these other things. So we got calls yesterday that people are not getting paid and so on and so forth. So I'm not sure of those things, but I want us to move
with the speed of a mirage in terms of these three things, the turnaround and how it's incorporated in the APP plus these guarantees. If it means at the same time we must meet the treasurer ourselves, I think we need to prioritize those things and put everything together so that when we meet around these issues, we're able to meet treasurer at the same time, just to understand what are the issues, because our people are very worried about these issues. I'm not sure of the extent to which they are true and the extent to which they've put the damage. But what I heard last time was they only have some 26 million. I don't know what to do, what and what. So it needs our urgent attention. As in yesterday, to deal with this matter, because it will be an egg on our face as the legislature not to deal with this matter. So what I'm trying to say is that whether the meeting is this week or next week, but let's line up all other things that we need to put in so that we're able to finalize a lot of things in that week, including meeting any stakeholder that is important to find solution to this problem.
Okay, thanks. I think there is a general agreement on the issue of the bill, amendment bill, going back to the department, to the minister. That is agreed. But also there is an agreement that let us look at next week to deal with other issues that I've raised, whether it's the turnaround strategy, the issues of the guarantee, the issues of retrenchment of SAPC workers. So there is that general agreement on those issues. Because all I needed when I was raising these issues is for us to agree on this one of the bill. We didn't need next week. It's agreed already, but other issues, as I was saying, minister came to table the APP, and therefore next week she will be ready with SAPC on other matters. I think there is that agreement, Comrade Bong.
Thanks, Chair. This is a matter that's not on the agenda, but I read in City Press about our secretary graduating with an honours degree and the story of his life, which has been a lot of challenge. So I think as a committee we must congratulate him for graduating and wish him well for the future.
Congratulations, but want to congratulate you more when you finishing your doctorate. I think that's the way to go to PhD, starting from honors. Remember, you'll go for master's, so it's a long way to go. But for your age, well done, Mr. Ngoma. At last, did you hear that? At last. Thank you very much, members. Those matters are done. We'll have to hand over to you, Minister, for the APP. And again, last week we had to postpone the meeting. At least today we are going ahead because of the quorum.
Thank you very much, Chair and honourable members. Chair, we here with the management of the Department of Communication, and I must also indicate that we've noted the issues that you have raised. It will be in our best interest indeed to get the bill sent back to the to the Department of Communication. It would really assist and also picking up what may be the issues that are of concern. Looking at the work that is being done around the review of the broadcasting environment and how we're looking at the turnaround, as well as just broadly matters related to broadcasting in South Africa. So we would gladly welcome that. Secondly, Chair, yes, the outcomes of the AGM, it will be important that there be a formal presentation so that issues that had no relevance in the AGM are separated, because the issue of retrenchments was never a discussion of the AGM. And therefore, it is a matter of management, but also it is in line with not just laying off people, but again working on the repositioning of the SABC, as well as its ability to be the SABC of the 21st century. That encompasses reskilling. It also encompasses reskilling. It encompasses identification of other means of bringing in the capacity into the SABC. On finances, I think, Jay, in fact, whether the meeting is this week or next week, there's a lot of progress that has been made on that matter. What sparked yesterday's issues, I think, had to do with people trying to preempt what is the outcome. And it's unfortunate. I must say what happened yesterday was just a combination of different things, which I think honorable members of parliament, I think we need to also take cognizance of these issues about management and the newsroom and the non-interference by the board, because the board itself has not fed this information onto the newsroom. How it got generated, it's something else. So we all should actually share the sentiments, but before the end of the day today, we'll allay the fears. We'll allay the fears of South Africans and we'll demonstrate progress that has been made, which is not even a bailout of the SABC, but which is an attempt by government to give the board of the SABC the ability to be self-reliant, the ability to deal with the acquisition of new content, the ability to build relationships, and finally also deal with their historical issues. In fact, this morning, one of the things that I said to the chair of the board is, at some point there must be a session in this portfolio committee to come and say, Parliament had an inquiry on the SABC. And what has been the decision and what has been the role of everybody in picking up what is now a liability carried by the new board, so that then we do not carry on the historical as if things are not improving, but also give an appreciation of the progress that has been made so far. We positively have also been sitting with the board, the AG's office, ourselves, National Treasury, in all meetings that are trying to deal with these matters. And I think, time permitting, Chairperson, members, honourable members, there should be that, because what we should also begin to appreciate is that different role players who made an input or observations have also assisted in taking responsibility, but the board continues to be viewed on the basis of the historical issues, and that's what we also need to sort out in dealing with the aerial battle, as well as the perceptions. So yesterday's issues were not fed by the leadership of the SABC through the board, and I actually said to one of the ministers, this is a demonstration of how far the board is from the newsroom, because somebody in the newsroom decided to generate the story. It's not what, and you could see in the comments of the board, they picked up a clip of the board being here in Parliament and not the board speaking about these particular issues, including the story of the 26 million. Of course, there are those challenges. But before sunset today, our intention is to meet, Chair, with your permission at around 1:30, with the Chair and the CEO, the Group CEO of the SABC here in Pretoria, here in Cape Town, and look at the issues, including the progress with regard to the turnaround strategy. So we fully support your observations. We fully agree with you on the need to deal with these issues that are out there in the air. Chair, let me, you've already apologized for our Deputy Minister, and yes, she is assigned another responsibility in the Free State. Honourable members, we're presenting before you an APT that follows our report, our presentation of the budget, just after our deployment into this particular portfolio. We also are doing this cognizant of the fact that we have limited time available before the term of the current administration ends in view of the coming general elections of 2019. In our budget speech, colleagues, honourable members, you'll recall, we made a commitment that we would wish to be much more realistic in our commitments so as to not overcommit and dent the hopes of many South Africans. We've done that through this process that we are presenting before you, and it is precisely because of that, honourable members, that even in the APP, we have highlighted issues that will not be able to deliver on, and those issues were historically committed in our tabled APP. And in line with the parliamentary processes, it is for that reason that we would also pick up those issues and seek your support and appreciation of the limited resources, the time pressures, the urgency and the strategic importance of the issues that we have reprioritized. We submitted, Chair, in line with the processes, the amendments to the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, to the Auditor General's Office, and to National Treasury for assessment and feedback. And we then had the feedback that comes from all these institutions, and then we then wrote a letter informing the committee on the department's intention to amend the APP. The plan, we tabled that particular plan on the 3rd of August, and as a result, we're here again to make a presentation to the PPs, to the Portfolio Committee on the revised APP for the Department of Communication for the financial year 2018-2019 to 2020-2021 medium-term expenditure framework. And we would also present the rationale for this particular revision. This APP is premised on the need to work with increased speed, speed of mirage, but increased speed, so that we avoid hanging over into the next administration. We need to clear our table and make sure that we can then consolidate and be able to have the next administration being able to then take over based on the realization of what we have identified. There are three areas, honourable members, through you, Chair, that are our focus, and they are in the following order. One is the digital terrestrial television, and ensuring that we consolidate what we have put back on track. And honourable members, if they so wish, we can actually elaborate, but we'll just give the highlights of how we are repositioning digital migration. The second one is what was part of your discussion and the comment, your observation and the comment you have made on creating a new vision for broadcasting. A new vision for broadcasting in South Africa. And then the last one is stabilizing our entities, particularly the SABC and the MDDA, which both of them are also highly dependent on the parliamentary process. So our ability to to stabilize the two will also rely on the parliamentary processes of filling the two the vacancies on the two entities, whilst we are also looking at the institutional capacity, particularly on issues of management and the issues of relevance and service to the people of South Africa by these two entities. I must actually indicate that, yes, that does not actually indicate that there are no challenges with GCIS. There are serious challenges. That does not mean there are no challenges with the Brenda's A and the film and publications board. But the ones that even Parliament itself has raised serious concerns on are the two, the MDDA and the SABC. Our rationale for these areas are primarily due to the fact that irrespective of how much the department can deliver on its other targets, will never be taken seriously until we achieve on these three areas. And that's the relevance of the department existing, including its oversight on these entities. So we are driven by what is our primary mandate on policy, regulation, and oversight over these entities. On the digital terrestrial television, we have, honorable members, put together a project management office led by someone who has a team that is highly capable and highly experienced. The director has also been involved in digital migration in other neighboring countries here in South Africa and has also been doing consultancy work in the country. But I must also register the fact that he's a product of our own broadcasting community, including the SABC. There's a saying, we saw his capability when he was out of the country and we had to attract him to come back home. And that is the person who's now dealing with that. The council comprises of representatives of critical government departments, particularly the Department of Trade and Industry, the Department of Environmental Affairs, the Department of Telecommunications, the Department of Small Business Development, I've mentioned the Department of Environmental Affairs, and even local government at the provincial level, including the provincial governments that work together with us. The council is further supported by an intergovernmental working group of various government departments that I have alluded to. And we do believe this is important, Chairperson, because part of what has been a historical challenge about digital migration approach in South Africa is that we assumed that it is a Department of Communications sole responsibility. And yet, it transcends across different departments, across different entities, and what the Department of Communication should benefit from is effective communication and quality communication, and most importantly, making sure that there's conformity with the norms and standards. And hence we have different role players into this, including the private sector and some and almost all service providers in the telecommunication, in the manufacturing space, as well as some of the property owners that we believe will be able to work together with. I forgot to mention the post office as one of those critical role players. We have since now, Chair, been able to develop a blueprint that provides a roadmap on how migration will happen in South Africa. And it will be good that if given a chance, Chairperson, we should come to the portfolio committee and come and share with you the implementation plan as we have already started to deal with it. We, in terms of the plan, Chair, we're working on switching off the first province in South Africa, which will be the Free State by the end of this year and first, second week of 2019. We are also grateful from what we have also found on the commitment by our ward councillor, local government. One of the key things we have learned out of this experience, Chairperson, is that everybody has been talking about the 5 million people that government has to assist, but from the work that the advisory council has done so far, there's a realization that the number may be less and that there's no one-size-fits-all, that it is not just a set-top box that is a solution. There are multi-solutions that are out there, and it is those things that we are dealing with. And I must say, one of the highlights of what has happened in the midst of a serious and a heated engagement on expropriation of land without compensation in South Africa, what we have in Senegal in the first stage, we had a white farmer, Farmer Manning, who actually gave his piece of land for government to put up infrastructure without any demand for compensation, and our infrastructure is protected and guarded by through his own support and collaboration with government. And that's part of what we've also learned, because Centec also needs sites where you need to put this kind of infrastructure. So the need for land goes beyond just agriculture, even on these issues. And this family has actually raised its hand and said they want to lend a hand. And we do hope that this is one of the good stories about white farmers in South Africa who are prepared to give away portions of their land for the good cause of our country. On dealing with our entities, Chair, Honourable Members, you will agree with me that there have been serious challenges about the SABC, and that can be attested through the inquiry that was done through the parliamentary processes. However, the side effects of the inquiry still haunt the SABC, and one wishes to state that in that form, to say there are side effects to it, where the staff morale is not about people not being paid, but there's also been some witch hunt that has been happening about people being associated with the past and the present and the future, and even the vacancies that were there that created a bit of uncertainty and what needs to be done. But we are happy to indicate that the three critical positions in the management of the SABC, which is the Group CEO, the COO, and the CFO, have been filled. There's also been a new appointment of the SABC's stakeholder relations manager, who is also already on board. In these new appointments, the spokesperson and stakeholder relations manager of the SABC is woman, the CFO of the SABC is woman, and the COO and the COO are men. We do believe that there is a major achievement through this kind of a process, because it has contributed to some stability. Together with the office of the AG, we are working together in addressing some of the outstanding historical audit outcomes. And through the support that we also are getting through our DG and the team in the department, National Treasury support has also been there in ensuring that an interim solution should be found to stabilize the entity. But off now, late since Sunday night, I can safely say we've not just found an interim financial solution, but there's a sustainable solution that is now being found. And hence our meeting with the chair and the CEO today, so that then we can then formally hand over the report that came from the Minister of Finance to the Minister of Communication, which then the SABC has to also make a commitment to. The second one is it's on dealing with the issues that have to do with the replenishing of the content offerings of the SABC. there is a multidisciplinary team that is dealing with that. And then the critical issue for all of us honorable members who are here through a vote is also dealing, working with the SABC and all the other role players around the coming general elections. I'm sure you know that there's going to be regulations from ICASA. There has to be also coverage of all of your political parties, and even the most important part of deepening democracy and public participation, that is non-partisan. So it is those things that, if you ask me, they are quite urgent and are quite important for the SABC. And we all know with the heat on the coming general elections, we do need a public broadcaster that will be able to stand the storm and be very strong and universally accessible to timely inform and educate the citizens about the importance of their vote as a means towards deepening democracy. We're revising the MOI, the Memorandum of Incorporation, in compliance with an earlier High Court judgment on the SABC. As I've already said, Chair, the turnaround strategy is being finalized through a task team comprising the Department, National Treasury, and SABC. So that's why then you can see in all these, it is not just SABC going alone, but it is actually inclusive of other critical role players in this. We are committed, Chair, to reviewing the public broadcasting policy as part of the comprehensive broadcasting policy review, particularly on the mandate. And I really hope all of you honorable members, you would also be able to help in dealing with the issues of the funding of the public mandate. I'm pausing a bit here, Chair, because if we put 3% and expect to get 90%, expect to get 70% of the SABC being of public interest, we really want to extract blood from a stone. So we definitely have to look at that. We've done some international comparisons. And we are amongst the worst off compared to even some developing nations. But any self-respecting nation will never actually cut short the funding and continue to say you are a public broadcaster. Because that's, if you ask me, that's where the challenge of the SABC is. The public mandate against the funding of the SABC. And then the other issue is the governance of the SABC as a public broadcaster. Through the colloquium, honorable members, that an invitation has been sent to yourself, we will have that colloquium now in September on the 6th and the 7th. These matters will be further discussed to influence the future policy process. And hence we say we're quite delighted, Chair, if we could have the bill being sent to us, so that then we also have all these participants in the colloquium who have an international experience to also help us to get involved in these particular issues. And thanks, Chair, for accepting to be part of those that are going to be on the program, because I think the experience of Parliament in South Africa also will be quite important to have some of the international best practices that are going to be shared there. The MDDA Chair is quite, I can say, it's slowly on its own recovery path. We now are finalizing the appointment of the CEO and the CFO of the MDDA. We do request, as I've earlier said, that we expedite then the parliamentary processes of filling the MDDA vacancies in their board. We've also commenced with the process to review the entity's governance frameworks to strengthen its outdated legislation, which I was told that it was developed in 2002. So we definitely have to look at that, and I'm sure that is also one of the areas where we'll need collaboration and participation with this particular portfolio committee. We, if we're talking about broadcasting review and also our outcome responsibility on nation building and social cohesion, community media broadcasting is shortchanged by this very situation. So we would wish to deal with this thing in a manner that then helps us to really reposition the role of the MDDA, and our MOI will seek to address the legislative gaps on how the MDDA conducts its business and furthermore guide the relationship between the board and the shareholder. We hope to amend the MDDA Act in the next financial year so that then it accommodates these very issues that one is raising. I think since one has been deployed into this portfolio, South Africa, we must accept that we have not done good on community media and broadcasting, which has a huge potential on and promoting diversity, accessibility to information, but most importantly, promotion of participatory democracy. So we really want to deal with these issues in a much more effective way so that we are able to realize a responsive communication policy regulatory environment, deal with the strategic leadership, and finally on achieving a transformed communication sector, because part of what we seek to do with the MDDA, our entities, and all these matters that Chair, you yourself has spoken about, is to deal with the transformation of the sector, inclusivity. We should also be working together in making sure that all policies are adhered to, even in this particular sector. We're working on the triple BEE policy for this particular sector, which has never been there, and hence it has always been a challenge, because there's been an assumption that there will be compliance out of conscience and not compliance because it has to be done. And we are dealing with those issues. Lastly, Chair, two things remain quite a challenge. This space of communication has got its own moving targets and expectations. Part of what we are working on now is to also, in support of the moratorium around the issuing of licenses for community radio, is to then do a full audit of that space. And I think the portfolio committee would also assist with your oversight, so that then we look at what is on the ground against what is supposed to be the law on community radio and the capacity of CENTEC, so that then we do not have a plethora of licenses concentrated in one area and other areas being highly affected, and that continues to promote inequality. Secondly, we would want to see a situation, Chair, that with the digital migration the coming to being of the release of the spectrum, we should also take advantage of it and ensure therefore that release of the spectrum and digital migration opens up an opportunity for new role players in the communication sector. And amongst those is to make sure that, again, in line with the review of the broadcasting policy, we are able to take communication back into the dominance by the public sector, unlike what we have as a country. Just in Senegal, in the Free State, the potential with the digital migration actually creates a space for over 20 new additional channels. So we definitely have to look at that and say, what does it actually bring? Our take is that this must bring diversity and inclusivity, starting with the SABC being the anchor, so that then you do not have our own communities being deprived of getting news from a national broadcaster and only being able to get the news at 10 to 4 or whatever time late in the afternoon, but every official language should be able to get an opportunity. And it is those kind of things that we are looking at. Secondly, it's about regional broadcasting opportunities. The Free State is already on board on that to say, let's pilot with us on a regional public television so that then you create jobs, you create skills, and you grow the economy of that particular region, but you produce the content on that particular region that then promotes the growth of that particular space, unlike everybody being relying on the pay TV. So we're quite excited about what is coming out, and hence we're looking forward to receiving the bill back for us to then deal with these issues and not have the bill being completed and then come back and come and change it. Let's all accept that. Let the bill come back and let's make it to be much more inclusive and to also respond to the future than to repair the status quo. So with your permission, I think I've tried to pick up all those issues that have to do with the amendments of our ATP, but we do have our team here led by the DG that is capable to give details to members of the portfolio committee. Thanks, Chair. With your permission, I can invite the DG if he's got...
Okay. Thanks for
elaborating.
Thanks, Minister DG.
Thank you very much, Minister. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, the Minister has provided the macro context of our amendments, and I'll just rush through the slides just to amplify certain areas, and thereafter give an opportunity to our CFO to present on our resource plan, because it's one of those things that made us to really change the or amend the APP. I think Minister has touched a lot on this around the general elections and then the current administration term coming to an end. For us, really, this means that we have to work at a faster pace so that we don't have any project or target that is transferred over into the new administration. The resource-constrained environment, as we'll see, the department, even though it's a new department, we are severely under-resourced, and I think the CFO will show that. Now, these are the areas that we thought we should look at, but what is the impact, particularly of DTT, on our industry? I think a lot of policy uncertainty, the impact on investment and growth, because people don't know where we are going as a country, particularly on free-to-air platform. If you have seen how South Africa's broadcasting industry is growing, it's only on the pay TV, but the free-to-air, where the SABCs is and others, is really suffering. At the moment, out of the 14 million households, 6 million of them are on pay TV in a developing country that is unheard of. You can compare it to other developing countries, whether South America, whether on the African continent. So that's where we are. So there's a lot of migration of our audience, even in the rural communities, to go towards pay. And if even on pay, it's not that they want a lot of content. It's just about the quality of television that they want. And thus, pay TV becomes the only means. And that's where I think the Minister talks about the need to capacitate Semtech to ensure that Semtech should be able to roll out transmitters. It should be their duty on universal mandate of broadcasting services. The SABC and others should just be there to provide content. It can't be at the moment where Semtech has to charge the SABC, but they are using the same resources. So the SABC, because of its financial modeling, the financial model will end up saying which are the areas that are lucrative. That's why if you've seen in terms of SABC's expansion of its coverage, they normally go to areas that are economically viable. And there are certain areas as we speak now, 22 years into democracy, they are still struggling with universal access to just a simple thing, SABC 1 and SABC 3. And that's why I think we need to change that. And then again, the other issue is we have missed DTT deadline, international deadline as set by the ITU. That means at the moment, which is a major issue, is the fact that our broadcasting signals are not protected. We are just broadcasting. Luckily, because of our geopolitical location, we don't have any threat, but nothing stops those superpowers from interfering with our systems, and nothing at all. So I think we need to move with speed. Now, what you've done then on DTT, if I have to explain that, we have revised the current delivery model, which means that I think there are some things that we can continue. Even if you provide 10 billion to the current model, it will never be completed at all, because it's too cumbersome, it's too dependent on government. So government is the carrier of the entire risk, and that's unheard of. That's why I think we are saying that we change that. Now, what is it that we have changed? And Mr. has highlighted some of those. One is we have taken the DTT out of the government's structure. At the moment, you know, the current model is in such a way that it's a branch of the department. Therefore, when the department is going through resource constraints, it gets affected. So what you've done is to try and unbundle it out of the department's organizational structure so that it can be a separate PMO with its own resources. And to a certain extent, when industry can second resources, there's no industry player that can second resources to a government department. But they can do so if you say, this is a PMO, this is what it's set to do. Minister has already appointed the project director as well as the advisory council, which combines various skills both from government and the private sector. And there's a lot of collaboration with industry. And I think they are helping. Some of them actually are helping us in providing digital TVs. So that's what we've done. So the PMO becomes the nerve center of this thing called DTT. And then ours as the department, you only provide that oversight role. I think that's the best way to do it, to help with communication and make sure that it's a call center. Instead of us being the ones that are running this project, are the ones that are rolling out set-top boxes. There's no government that procures set-top boxes and roll them out. If you look at the whole risk, at the moment with the current model, we procure set-top boxes, we transport them, we warehouse them, we distribute and administer that. So we are the key of risk. What if that warehouse gets burned out today? It means all government's investment is out of the window because there's no insurance. So the whole, and you can compare throughout the world, there's no other country that has implemented DTT in that fashion. We are the only one, making it the most expensive DTT model ever to be implemented. So we have strengthened project oversight through...
Sorry. I know that I have some guests closer to the door. I want them to come closer here. We are not going to answer any questions. It's a SABC board. Yeah. Come closer here so that no questions to you. Don't be worried. These are board members. Okay.
As the minister said, this project actually transcends beyond a single department. That's why I think to strengthen its oversight, we have established also an interdepartmental governmental team, which includes all the departments listed by the minister. Now, on stabilizing state-owned entities, I think there are two areas. One is strengthening leadership. The other one is to deal with governance instruments to make sure that indeed they are modern, they are modernized. Like the MDD Act, the only thing that we have is that act. There's no MOI, there's nothing that says how should the minister interact with the board. That's why we've got that kind of a challenge. So even internally, we got our own challenge around the skills on how to do proper oversight. Everyone who is within the governance environment understands that this has become a specialized area. Look at the company sector. There's a lot of requirements that are set in there instead of anyone who is in that space. So that's the challenge that we have to deal with. So for us, we have to say, how do we get corporate governance specialists into the department who understand this and ensure that these companies are doing the right direction? And then also making sure that the bilateral platforms are critical for us to engage and ensure that there's accountability. And then equally, we have established a sort of a multidisciplinary team from both our finance and HR legal internal audit that works with these entities to make sure that they correct wherever there are challenges. Now, on the SMBs turnaround, Minister has already provided that, that we are, you know, reviewing the MOI in line with the court judgment. I think that process is underway. And then we are reviewing the public broadcasting, which she referred to. Then the MDDA, also the filling of vacancies is quite critical, as well as the board. But what we are going to do also for the MDDA, to, while we are amending the bill, which will take some time to complete, we thought in the meantime we can put in place an MOI. But that MOI has to be in line with that. But that is to make sure that when we set up constitutionally established committees that are supposed to be there, in other words, special committees that are provided by within the Companies Act, as any other organization. Because at the moment, there's not any instrument that provides those. So then we've got the MDDA Act, there's a lot of governance gaps. So the MOI, I think, will help us to deal with that. Now, on creating a vision for broadcasting, all of us understand how old our white paper on broadcasting is, 1999. Next year it will be 20 years. And for an industry that is rapidly changing, that is archaic. It is not driving us anywhere. It was indeed correct because at that time I think it was used to transform the industry. But I think there are a lot of challenges that are happening in the industry. That's why we need to do that. Now the second part is on free-to-air platform, which has to be strengthened because the majority of South Africans cannot continue to be on pay. That's why that's very important. And reviving our own local content industry to create jobs. And then media transformation as well as SME development. So internally as well, we have been saying that we have a department of communication. We need to improve our own internal capacity on communication and building trust and staff morale. As we are aware, the department has been going through a lot of changes. And when those changes happen, similar to the SABC, they are likely to affect staff morale because every leader who comes has got a different way of doing things, and ultimately there's no consistency and policy certainty. That's why I think for us those are very, very critical. Now, these are the plans over the MTF. If you look at the original APP that we presented, it had the policy and the act in the same year. And for anyone who is within the policy environment, I think that is not feasible. And that's why I think the point that the minister made around the limited time available, you cannot have a policy and the act this year. You need at least for an act that has got a lot of issues to deal with. Remember, we are amending things that were there for almost 19 years. You need at the most the whole year to consult, to make sure that the policy is very robust and futuristic. So you cannot have the act in this and the policy in the same year. That's why we said for this year our focus will only be on finalizing that policy, doing thorough consultation, and this colloquium that you're talking about is just part of it. Our plan is to make sure that we take it to cabinet, that policy, by the end of this financial year. If we can achieve it, the next administration then will facilitate the whatever bills that emanate from that. Whether you've got the Broadcasting Act or whether you've got Public Broadcasting or SABC Act, as many panels have been talking about, is something else. For us this year, given the limited time, if we can finalize the policy, that will be our major achievement. And then this is the other area on media. This one hasn't changed at all. It has always been there. On the MDDA, we said it's one of those areas where we are going to look at the governance instruments to say to what degree is this entity in terms of governance aligned to modern practices. Yes, we are doing the bill, but in view of the bill taking longer to finalize, that's why then the issue of the MOI becomes very, very important. On SOC oversight, DTT, we still go ahead, but our role will be on oversight. But once, I think, given time, we'll come back and present to you on how are we going about it, and we'll continue to provide reports to the committee. So as the department, I think, will provide their regular reports to the committee, but the actual work will be done by the PMO. That's why even in our quarter report, we'll attach to our whether it's quarterly or annual report, an annexure that talks about DTT. But from our own APP, we only have that target that talks about that actual report. Then this is the work that we are doing around international, which we haven't changed. I've talked about the governance frameworks of those entities. This year the focus is on SABC, and the MDDA. The other ones will follow suit, Brandesa and the ICASA. Not because they are not important, as the minister said, but if you look at these two, MDDA and the SABC are the ones where we've got a lot of challenges. So allow me to give an opportunity to the CFO to take you through the financial information as well as our resource plans. Thank you very much.
Are you ready, CFO?
Thanks, Honorable Minister, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable Member. Basically, the plan has required us to reprioritize what we have. We don't have additional funding to fund this APP asset, but we had to reprioritize to make sure that what we have revised, we still live within what was given to us by National Treasury. This is the budget that was given as a department during the appropriation period, which shows that we have 1.5 billion for 2018-19, of which 1.3 billion goes to all the entities, including GCIS, and our budget remains as per program above. What we have tried to do is to show the committee how the budget really looks like. To say out of 1.5 billion, you take compensation of employees, which is 81 million, which is earmarked. You can't use that money for anything but to hire people in the organization. And then you take out your transfers. We have only budgeted 44,000 for capital budget. It means our operational budget is 54 million. Out of that 54 million, 25 million of that goes to the DTT project, which we must implement, and means that as a department, we are remaining with 20 million to run daily operations to function as a fully fledged department, which says to us, what do you do with the 20 million? And that requires really reprioritization and cost containment measures that as a department, we must continue to live within what we have available. Hence, we have done this reprioritization to make sure that we are able to deliver on our mandate. This is the table. I will talk to the table in this month. We have taken an amount of 1.1 million. This is just a reprioritization that we did. Because of the change that of the act and the bill that we had to D-link and make sure that we remain with the white paper on that, on the audiovisual, we will no longer have the consultation provinces to deal with this one because now we are doing the white paper. Then that money that was supposed to go to consultation on provinces is the money that we'll be utilizing for the colloquium that will be hosted on Thursday and Friday this week. We have also said, because we are really under-capacitated under the unit of the policy unit, which is the core of the department, we have managed to appoint one chief director additional to what we used to have. And for that chief director to be operational, we have to give him resources over the MTEF to be able to function. And that 837 was reprioritized to make sure that this function is done properly and we are able to deliver on the mandate of the department as such. Given the delivery model that we are given on the DTT that we require to do, but also given the challenge of the office space that we have within the GCIS, if we have to continue with the model as presented by the DG, there is no way the people that are seconded by the industry will fit within the space that we are in the GCIS. So we are forced to look for an office space that will be able to accommodate the PMO so that it's able to function as a unit on its own and be able to run. And for that purpose, over the MTEF, we have prioritized this 5 million to make sure that we take care of that. But for honorable members, included in that 5.3 million, it has become very clear that in terms of the IT infrastructure, we are putting too much pressure on the GCIS IT system. So we have to pay for our own licenses as such. So it's part of the security measures that we will be paying from that month. As a department, since inception, we have never funded the development and training of our own officials in the department. And we said as part of this one, because it's also bringing the low staff morale in the department and also the making sure that our people are developed, we have put our money for work skills plan to make sure that we are able to take our people to the training over the MTF, and for sure that will boost the skills and the competencies we require in the unit. And we had to reallocate the money to the Ministry for Travelling and Subsistence given the new modeling of the DTT, that it requires the minister to communicate heavily in terms of what we require, but also the DG to look into that matter. So as a result, over the MTF, we had to do that reallocation to make sure that they are able to fulfill the mandate as required by the legislation. But what was critical and what we have been found wanting in the past was we didn't have the internal audit unit as a department, which is a requirement in terms of the treasury regulations. And for the first time in this current financial year, we have established the unit is composed of three people, and there was a need that we fund that unit over the MTF so that it's able to function properly and also to increase the auditor's fee, because on a yearly basis as a statutory organization, their fees get increased. It doesn't matter whether we are a small department, but the fees that they require is the same across the board with other departments. So we had to put that money so that we don't have an unauthorized expenditure at the end of the day. And one of the things, as we're discussing the review of the DTT, was that we cannot have a DTT migration without talking to SMME development as a department. And part of that part was saying it's our duty as a department to ensure that we develop the SMMEs within this sector to make sure that they also benefit from the digital migration project. And as a result of that, over the MTF period, we have put aside $2.7 million to deal with that element of SMME development, which we are currently doing. But in addition to that, DG has made a critical view to say the kind of content that goes into the DTT project needs to look at into it, and as a result, as a policy unit, we need to look at that and make sure that we have people who can produce better content that must fit the digital migration that we need. And we had to put $2.7 million to support what we want to achieve as a department. For the committee, just to note on the personnel of the department, we thought it would be proper that we show with you how small we are. For sure you all know. We are only 88 in the department, and we have 73 that are permanent and 15 contract positions. And out of 15 contracts, 10 is under administration. And 10 is under administration, honorable members, because of the term of office of the ministers. They come with people who are linked to their term, so those people will always be on contract. And the 5 that are under program 3, the head of the DTT came on a contract because this is a project. It's not something that will be permanent for the entire whatever years that we come. I think the mandate is that come and deliver what you are supposed to deliver, and the term of your job is gone. So we have 5 people that are assisting the head of the PMU that are on contract, because we envisage that by 2020 we must be slowing down on the project and making sure that we remain with people who will do the maintenance of the project as such. But the posts that are vacant, they are vacant because people have left this once. We don't have additional funds to hire more people, and it's our view that we really need more, as I could show on the next slide. That you can see that in terms of the requirement as per establishment, and I only focused on the core. I didn't want to go to program 1, which is compliance unit. But in program 2, in terms of the establishment, we need 58 people to do the job of the department. And this program too is the policy and communication unit, the core of this department. But we only have 7 people to deal with that. And out of these 7 people, only 3 are the experts in the area. The others are admin support. So if we have to develop all the policies that are required to support the sector, not to be reactive, because currently we are reactive in terms of how we respond to issues in the sector. So we are not setting the trend as a department. Honestly, 7 people are not able to do it. I'm just, if you can just even look at the 5 entities that we are supposed to manage and make sure that their legislation is up to scratch. With these 7 people, you can only do 2 policy or whatever in a year because of the research and whatever that requires in terms of this function. So this is highly understaffed unit in the department. The digital migration wanted 56 people, but we only have 5 people. And these people must run throughout all 9 provinces in the country to make sure that we migrate. And this is unfair to the department. And you tend to overstretch everybody because now when there is an event that must take place in Free State, some of the finance people and HR people must leave what they are supposed to do and support that event because we need it to be a success. So you can just see the amount that we sacrifice as a department to make sure that we deliver on a mandate. On the entity oversight, the establishment provided for 77 people. And this was against the benchmark that was done with the DPME, with the DTPS and whatever to say, how much do you need for the people to run the entity oversight given what is required? And they wanted 77 people, but you only have 6. But as I'm saying, that's 6 because somebody has resigned at the chief director level. Now there are 5. So we only have 5 people that have to run that unit. And given all the challenges we have, the minister has alluded to SABC, MGDA. What will these 5 people be able to do and assist this institution? That's why the task team that the DG has put in place for the HR and finance to support all the entities at the go to make sure that we make an impact as a department. So you can see that we are short of 169 people, but given the limited resources, unfortunately we can't move. Our hands are tied because we cannot even hire more people than what we are allocated in terms of compensation of employees. And I will allow the DG to do the conclusion.
Thanks, CFO. Honorable members, you can see from this really that the amendments to the APP was really inevitable. You can see out of these figures how in the world can we develop policies with only 3 specialists. Only two are chief directors. The rest largely admin. And even on DTT, such a magnitude of a project, very complex. But that's why for us, Minister said, we have been given 10 rand, and then out of that 10 rand, let's demonstrate to the South Africans that this is the 10 rand that they've given us, this is what we are going to do. We are not going to sit back and say we can't do anything. Whatever we can achieve, that's why our reprioritization exercise based on those 2 areas of our work. But we have made a commitment, indeed we'll do whatever it takes to deliver on this, despite the severe resource constraints environment that we operate in. I'll allow the Minister to conclude.
Thanks, Chair. The issues, as we have said, in terms of reprioritizing on digital terrestrial television, stabilization of our policy, of our entities, and then the issues around policy review, primarily looking at the broadcasting space as one of the urgent and immediate area that we need to be dealing with. Moving forward, Chair, like I said, it would be quite important that we then are given more time to continuously come and brief the portfolio committee on progress in this regard, but also the issues that you have also flagged that border on the public broadcaster, which is one of those priority areas of focus. Thanks very much, Chair. Thanks, Honorable Member.
Yeah, thank you very much. Quite the last part of the report. It's a very sad story. I'll allow discussions. We're going to break for 5 minutes, but just to conclude the issue of the broadcasting bill, taking it back to the minister, if members can, it's a simple process. If you go to the rules, 277, it just tells you what to do. Notice where on withdrawing the bond withdrawing the amendment bill. 277(1) says if a cabinet member, deputy minister, committee or member decides not to proceed with the introduction of a bill after rule 276 has been complied with, the cabinet member, deputy minister, and the, in this instance, committee or member must without delay inform the speaker in writing. So it's the process. The process is with us. We'll have to do that to the speaker. And that can be done today, submit everything today. In case of a cabinet member or deputy minister referred to in sub-rule 1, he or she must publish a notice in the Gazette. But number one, it's what you must do as a matter of urgency. So the that will be done, and then in the morning tomorrow, it will be in the office of the speaker. And then we take it from there. It goes back to the Minister of Communication. I wanted us to finish that part before we can break for 5 minutes, grabbing our tea and stuff, and then come back. Thank you.